Okay. So, hi, I'm Kim. About 5.5 years ago, there were several of us in the Barrhead area that thought we might need some kind of support for individuals who have an unplanned pregnancy. Because where do they turn if they don't have, you know, this big supportive family, or maybe they don't feel close to them that they can share and that kind of thing? So we set out on this journey to open this pregnancy care center. Started out with 23 people, and by the time it was like the steering team who was, we were committed to making it happen as long as the Lord kept opening the doors. There were four of us, and we were all tired moms, and we were pretty weak and, you know, felt unequipped. And a year later, a pregnancy care center opened. So God did that on purpose so that it couldn't be like, look what we've done. And in fact, it was a dream of mine 9 years prior to that that I had to lay down, because I think at that time it might have been a little bit more of, look at what Kim's done. So when I share things that have been going on, it's just glory be to God for what's been happening there. This is actually my last presentation in this role. Because on Friday, I won't be the director anymore. I'm actually going to stay home with my daughter and homeschool her and dabble in some farming stuff and that kind of thing. So I'm going to miss this. So thank you for allowing me one more opportunity to share. I'm going to always be very passionate about the Pregnancy Care Center. Our new director isn't assigned yet, but when you do hear about the new director, I just really encourage you to just support and shore this next director up, as I have felt shored up as well. So the Pregnancy Care Center is a registered nonprofit charity. We are a satellite of the Edmonton Pregnancy Care Center. They came with all the experience, and that's been very helpful to us. We are a Christian organization. This is how we handle that in the center, because it's not just Christians that come to us, and in fact, sometimes it's people who are very worried about the fact that we are a Christian agency. They might be, you know, wondering if they're safe to come, if they're thinking that, if they're saying that they have no faith or they're an atheist or something like that. So this is how we'd handle it. If you were my client, what I would say to you about that, there's a few things I go through, and one of them is this. So we're a Christian organization, and what that means is we believe that God loves us and loves you, has plans for our lives. And that's actually what motivates us to be here. That's why we're here, to help you, because of his love. And I'm going to set that to the side. If you ever want to talk about it, please ask. I'm happy to talk about it. But now let's talk about why you came in. And so we actually leave God out of it. You better believe that we're praying the whole time. But it's been astounding how many people have either come back to the Lord just because they're loved on during this process, or are meeting Jesus for the first time. So that's pretty exciting. All of our services and our resources are free to anyone. They don't have to show any proof of income or anything like that, and confidential. And in a small town, that's really important. Westlock and Barrhead, I'll get into a little bit more about us serving clients from Westlock, but we do. Going to our local store here, if you're pregnant and the people in your sphere might be a little judgy about you needing a pregnancy test, that is hard to do confidentially in a small town, because you're going to see someone you know, right? So we do pregnancy tests at the Pregnancy Care Center. And we provide support and education to individuals and families that are impacted by an unplanned pregnancy. Our mission statement is, we're your companion through pregnancy, parenting, and post-abortive care. You are never alone. We do educate and inform about all three options. Abortion, parenting, and adoption. So when you have an unplanned pregnancy, she does have three legal options. And so we do share information about all three options, because she's going to get information about options somewhere else if we don't, right? So we share information, including the risks. And we believe that she has a right to make an informed choice, not making a choice in this void of information. And no matter what she chooses to do, we are there for her. So we don't refer for abortion. We don't assist in abortions. but if she does choose abortion and finds herself struggling emotionally, we're there for her as well. And our goal is to empower beyond the crisis by helping to equip the clients and promote hope and healing through programs we offer and through connecting them in the community. So we've had, we've been open 4.5 years. We've had nearly 1,000 appointments with over 150 clients. And about 40% of our clients are actually from Westlock and the surrounding communities. So sometimes we actually will travel to Westlock to meet with the clients. We don't want there to be a barrier to them receiving these kinds of services, even though our center is in Barrhead. And sometimes it works out that we can set up transportation to bring the client to our center. Our funding is fully by private donations. And the Lord has financially carried, when you start something, you don't know, first of all, if someone's going to trust you to come through those doors as a client. And then also, secondly, like, we really sensed each step along the way, the Lord showing us, yes, go forth, open this. This is a ministry that I'm calling into being. And then there's still that piece of you that is like, but will we be carried financially? And we have been. We were short in 2021 for the first time. We were about $21,000 short. But Edmonton was able to cover that for us. And so we don't, usually when I speak, I don't talk about the money stuff. But you're going to see, I just want to give you a heads up that you'll see in your bulletin coming up through October, we're having something called the Baby Bottle Campaign. We do 2 fundraisers in a year. One's the Walk for Hope, one's Baby Bottle Campaign. And so that's just kind of a drive to raise awareness so that people can give to the Pregnancy Care Center. So if you see that, that's what that's all about. Okay, but now we'll get into the more, nuts and bolts about what things look like at the Pregnancy Care Center. So when I share about a client, I've changed the names for confidentiality reasons and maybe any, like, identifying factors because, you know, small town. But I'll talk to you about Lisa. She came to us. She was pregnant, and she did have an abortion scheduled. She did feel that she might need some emotional support, though, as she, in her words, did what she had to do. Lisa was, she was quite young, but she was already a professional woman. She was well-known and well-respected, had a good head on her shoulders. She just got caught in a tricky situation. She knew that she wanted to be a mom someday, but not with this partner. She was in a domestic violence situation, and she wasn't willing to report him, even though she had been choked by him multiple times. She felt it was embarrassing for anyone to know what she's going through. She felt she should have known better and not ended up in this situation with this man. Lisa was worried about what would happen to the baby if there's a baby born and then gets abused by the father. She was scared to be permanently tied to this man. And then even if she had him charged, she actually had a few acquaintances and she was sharing their stories. She knew that it was possible that even for her baby, it could become constant childhood trauma for the baby, even if charges were pressed. So at the end of that first appointment, Lisa just broke down into tears and she said that she wasn't sure that she could go through with the abortion. We asked Lisa if she'd like to take a few days and just journal, spending some time living in the 3 options. Take a couple days and what will parenting look like if you parent? Because she said that's what she wanted to do. What does that look like now? What does that look like 5 years from now? To the best of your ability, like just write down what you imagine that might look like. What kind of feelings will you have around that? Do the same. Spend a couple days writing about if you've had an abortion. What might that look like a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? And then the same for placing for adoption. What would that look like? So we encouraged her to journal, and she agreed to do that. She canceled the abortion appointment that day. She came back a week later and said that although most of the journaling showed her heart of wanting to parent, the most weighty points in her journal were that the father of the baby was abusive and she didn't think that would be okay for her or the baby. Even adoption was off the table for her as the father of the baby was absolutely not willing to sign off on adoption papers. So the appointment ended again with Lisa in tears, wishing there was another way. She let us know that she scheduled the abortion again. This went back and forth for 6 weeks. We kept being the safe place to get all those conflicting emotions out and remind her of her immense worth, tell her we loved her, we were sorry that she was going through this, and we prayed for her each week. It is not our job to push or manipulate, just to love unconditionally. God even gives us free will, so we're not going to take that away from any of our clients. So finally, in week 6 of being with the PCC, Lisa said that she'd come to a final decision. Even though she didn't know what the future might be for her and her baby, she did know that she loved the baby and wanted to make a plan for parenting. So we all rolled up our sleeves and got to work making connections and a plan so that the gaps that were making parenting really difficult could be alleviated or prepared for. So then when the baby was a few months old, we interviewed this client to get some feedback about how having PCC in her life was helpful for her, or maybe how we could have improved our service to her. Lisa shared about how she felt loved and supported and that she got lots of baby items and she felt like she had a couple special aunties to lean on through life. When we asked at the end of the interview if there's anything else that she wanted to add before we closed, she was holding her baby. And she looked down into her precious little baby girl's face, and her tears filled her eyes. And she just looked at us, and she just started sobbing, and she said, "Without your support, I would not have had her. Thank you." Not all our stories end that way, but it was a very powerful thing to be a part of, for sure. So I'll tell you a bit about our programs. So with Lisa's story, you learned a bit about how we approach the options information. We are committed to being a support in their lives no matter which option they choose, and we really think no one should face these types of life-changing decisions alone. We don't impose our biases or our preferences, but we spend time learning what she values and believes, and we show respect to her as a person. I mentioned free pregnancy tests. We also have a male mentoring program. We didn't have this for the first year and a half of being open. It's something we were praying about. One of our very first clients came with a partner, a teenager, who was really looking forward to being a father, actually, once they got through the shock of the surprise. But he would come faithfully to the Pregnancy Plus classes, and I was teaching them, and he would learn about parenting from me, and I just wished there was a man that, you know, I could just, okay, and this is who you meet with. But he said that the only thing that he knew about, you know, being a dad from his dad was everything that he didn't want to be, right? So anyway, we do have a male mentor program now, and our male mentors teach by example, through actions, through encouraging, explaining, and standing side by side with the young men who would like some support as they enter manhood or fatherhood. And sometimes some of our clients that have come for the male mentor program are not fathers. Maybe there's been an abortion in their story, or maybe they've just been referred to us by someone because they just need some support, right? So Pregnancy Plus program, I just mentioned that a minute ago. In that program, those who are choosing to continue their pregnancy, they can learn about fetal development, healthy pregnancy, labor and delivery, parenting and life skills, including budgeting and healthy relationships. And each week, the woman or the couple, if she has a partner with her, they can earn points. And at the end of the 12 weeks, they can cash in their points for a gift card that they can use for some, you know, larger ticket baby items. We also provide them free of charge with maternity clothes, prenatal vitamins, and many, many baby items. We have something called the Birth Mother's Journey for women or couples who are considering placing for adoption. Sometimes they actually start that course and then partway through decide to parent, right? So then they'll go into the Pregnancy Plus. But if they're exploring adoption, we really encourage them to start this course because we journey alongside them as they go over all the aspects they should consider as they get closer to placing their baby lovingly in a family's arms. So things like what makes a good parent, because if they're choosing a parent, it's going to be the most important decision they ever make. Preparing a memory box that she can keep and one would go with the baby. What does she want that placement of the baby to look like? Does she want to have a ceremony? Who does she want present? Who does she want to pass the baby into the couple's arms? Things like that. We talk about all these things, and our experience on the adoption journey is that it's very helpful. It's a grief journey as well, but you can prepare for that grief journey and then maybe be better able to stand up through it. And then the last program that I'll talk about, second last. Steps to Sexual Health. That's this is a one-on-one program for individuals who've had sexual trauma, sexual abuse, or even sexual misuse. And it's one-on-one because it's very private and personal. And it's to help individuals get a new perspective around this area in their lives. Clients do not need to be pregnant or have had an abortion to take this program. It's something that came as a need. We were seeing a common denominator in so many of our clients' lives through they were pregnant, and then, great, now they're a parent, but what about this sexual trauma? There's, like, we aren't professional counselors. That part's important, but it's a program that came as a need out of that. They wanted to keep coming, and what kind of support can we give around healing in this area? So, but we've opened it up because they've referred other people to us afterwards as well. So clients have found healing from the past and an opportunity to recapture their hope through this program. All right. So, and the last program that I'll talk about is the Abortion Recovery Center. So some women say that they feel relief after an abortion, while others will say that they find it very painful and difficult to move past. So women come to the center hoping to resolve feelings of guilt or anxiety or depression. Some actually come through our doors for support for the first time decades after an abortion. So let's just take a few minutes and talk about abortion. So statistically, 4 out of 10 women who get abortions are regular churchgoers. And only 16% of those 4 women, 4 out of 10, talk to anyone in their church before making that decision. They don't feel safe to talk to churchgoers about what they're going through. Now, that's a real blanket statement for me to say. That may not apply in every situation, right? But for only 16% will disclose. And why is that? Well, it's a tough topic. There are so many tensions around the abortion topic. Three that I'm aware of is that we don't know how to talk about abortion. Like, we know the biblical stance around abortion, but how do you talk about that and still show love? We feel lost in the polarization around abortion. Like, there's these two sides, pro-life and pro-choice. So how do you talk about that without being too polarized? And we feel confusion around the role of the church when it comes to abortion. And it is quite widespread, the impacts of it, because there are also secondary losses from abortion. You think about the friend that drove her to the hospital or the clinic. These people also come and talk to us as well. The biological father who emotionally coerced her to abort. The mother or father who demanded that their daughter abort. The sister or brother who never knew their sibling. The grandparents who never got to spoil the grandchild. The biological father who was not given a voice to try to save his child. So there's a lot of people involved in these stories. A term that we use at the Pregnancy Care Center is pro-grace. So I'll give you a visual. So there's two cliffs here, and there's this pit in the middle. And up at the top of one cliff is the pro-life group, who is talking about the baby. They're being a voice for the voiceless. You know, who is more helpless than a baby in the womb? And on this cliff are pro-choice, who are talking about the woman. And they're saying, like, look at her circumstances. Don't put that on her. You need to care about the woman. And down in this pit is the woman who has a baby inside. They cannot be separated. And so with the Pregnancy Care Center, we just picture climbing down into that pit with her. And we believe the Lord wants her and the baby to thrive during and after pregnancy, not just get that baby out. So we minister to her right where she's at, and our support and care for her isn't conditional on what she chooses. It is complicated and messy, and often when we're outside of that appointment, we shed a lot of tears too. But it's get right in the pit kind of work. So pro-grace, that's what we call it. I'm going to bring this closer to home for a minute, a little personal, for each of you to start thinking about. So what is something in your life that brings you shame? I'm not asking you to speak it out, but I bet you most of us had something come to our life that, or come to our mind. So let's pretend I gave you a 5x7 card and I made you write that shameful thing on the card. And then you were forced to pin that card on your chest and walk around with that card for everyone who saw you to see for the next 9 months. People wouldn't just see what we wrote on that card, but instead they'd assign us an identity. So that's the emotional response of so many women who find out they're pregnant and they didn't want to be. Church, when we choose not to talk about something, I'm not talking about glorifying sin or anything like that, but when we choose to not talk about something, when we keep the things that we're ashamed of just hidden always and don't talk about our own shortcomings that we're working through with Jesus, it gives others around us, like unintentionally, a message that they are unwelcome if they have this issue. I'll tell you about Hannah, again, name changed. She came to me and she said, like small town, you often know the family, you often know, you know, I know who she is. She didn't know me, but anyway, she said, I have to have an abortion. She's a teenager. There is not one other person in my church who's ever gone through this. If I don't get an abortion, I will absolutely lose my church, my friends, and my family. And I knew people in her church, and I knew of several unplanned pregnancies in that church over the years. And I'm not judging any church in saying, why aren't you talking about it? Like, it's pretty hard to be able to. So who has an unplanned pregnancy? Who's had an abortion? Like, it's a hard one to talk about. But I know that they've experienced that. That church had experienced unplanned pregnancies and abortions over the years. But no one's talking about it in a way. It's not the kind of thing you just shout from the hilltops. But no one, there's not an avenue for those things to be talked about. So those who are going through it, keep silent in secret because of the shame and the lie that no one has ever been as sinful as them. Well, we can be very thankful to know Romans 8 verse 1. There is no condemnation for all those who are in Christ Jesus. And so even those that don't have Christ Jesus, if they just meet him, that condemnation is over, right? So we can walk confidently in that. I'll tell you a bit about my story where one of the things that I felt a lot of shame around. About 21 years ago, I had a positive pregnancy test. So at first, it was negative, and I was relieved. I heard my roommate drive up in the driveway, and I was so embarrassed that I even needed to do a pregnancy test. And since it was negative, I just breathed this huge sigh of relief, and I hid it at the very back of a bathroom cupboard. And I was just going to dispose of it later when she wouldn't see me. So she was busy doing something a few hours later. I pulled it out, and I was going to take it right out to the garbage at the curb so that she'd never, ever have to know. No one have to know that I did a pregnancy test. And what was that? There was a very faint second line on the test. Don't two lines mean positive? Could it be that this good Christian girl who was a youth leader and unmarried had gotten pregnant? The girl who was going to wait till she was married. Yep, I was pregnant. So I always knew I wanted to be a mom, but I had planned to be happily married first, not in this uncertain relationship. So my parents met the news with surprise and some tears, especially when I told them I was getting married immediately to someone that they didn't know, over voicemail, I might add. Sorry, Dad. they did try to be there for me. I have very supportive parents, but I wouldn't listen. They advised that I slow down and think things through. Don't jump into a marriage just because I was pregnant. I refused to hear them. At 23 years old, I was not letting them dictate my life. Looking back, I can recall the conversations, and I now know they weren't dictating. They were lovingly encouraging me to slow down. I just heard it different. I was pregnant. It wasn't planned by me. I was embarrassed. I was afraid. I was anxious, and I made a rash decision to quickly marry someone that I barely knew. So I've never regretted my decision to parent my baby girl. She's 20 now. But I have often wished that I had slowed down to take time to really think through my next steps. Let's fast forward to 2018. I was now the director of a pregnancy care center that offers support to people who are just like I was 18 years prior to then. I was at a training for directors of pregnancy care centers, and this lovely, experienced client advocate from Central Alberta Pregnancy Care Center in Red Deer, she was role-playing on an options information session for us. And it's mandatory that we do the role play. So I volunteered to be the pretend pregnant woman who was not sure what she should do. I thought, easy. That's the easy role. And I do hate role playing, but it had to be done. I didn't think much about it. So this client advocate was so loving and kind to my pretend self. And suddenly it just struck this chord in me. In almost 18 years, I had never cried about that situation that I faced at that time. I'd been too busy rushing into decisions and trying to prove I'd not made a mistake. And I was proving my parents wrong. And I just never took time to grieve what I'd lost by suddenly facing an unplanned pregnancy. I was so also aware of the immense blessing and joy that my sweet daughter was to me that I never allowed myself to feel that there was even pain there. But I did lose freedom to worry only about myself. I lost my role as a youth leader when I resigned out of embarrassment. I lost my picture of what it might look like to one day be in a stable, happily married relationship and then be an expectant mother. I lost the special dating relationship that I imagined for when I would one day find that special someone, because now all decisions, including dating, revolved around my child. I lost some of my identity as I found myself in a position that I never imagined being in. I lost my role as a volunteer firefighter as I found it too hard to do later in pregnancy and then as a mom with an infant. I lost many relationships as I avoided people out of shame. So nobody disowned me. It was my own doing to shut people out. They probably would have been there for me if I had let them. I did lose my church for many years, again, because of my own private shame. And I know that my church would have been there for me. Suddenly, in this role play, fake client advocacy session, I was 23 again, having just looked at that pregnancy test with the super faint second line. And in this role play, instead of jumping to decision-making, like rushing into a marriage that ended less than 2 years later, I found myself being listened to by a loving client advocate, this woman who was telling me that I was facing some really hard decisions, that it really was a loss I was facing, no matter what I choose. It was role-playing for the purposes of training for those center directors present, but for me, it ended up stepping me back in time and letting myself be vulnerable and feel loved and cared for and supported during the biggest unplanned transition of my life. I was sitting in this room full of pregnancy care center directors from across Canada, crying my eyes out. At one point, the client advocate touches my knee and she said, "Honey, are you still role-playing?" I'm like, "No, I'm definitely not anymore. This is real." So nearly two decades had passed, and it never occurred to me that I should allow myself to grieve what was lost until that grief just came out involuntarily by surprise all these years later. So an important side note, despite the losses, being a mother to Kaylee has given me more than what I've lost. But the losses were real, and I could have benefited in my mental health if I had had the chance to acknowledge and face some of these losses instead of pretending them away. There's a book that I've read if you face some kind of loss, not just pregnancy, but just any sort of loss, I do recommend it. It's called A Grace Disguised by Jerry Sitzer. And there's one phrase in there. It says, "Pain will have its day because loss is undeniably, devastatingly real." So I experienced that truth that day. But oh, how freeing. I'd not even realized I was carrying around all that shame, that loss, all those years until it rose up unexpectedly. At the Pregnancy Care Center, we walk right up to that line of darkness in someone's life, and we call light into it. So, again, let's bring it a little closer to home. Is there some darkness, some shame, some loss going on in your home that people don't know about? It might not be related to unplanned pregnancy or a past abortion. Satan brings darkness in all kinds of areas. His whole mission statement in life is to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's after us, especially us who are walking with the Lord. He's going to try harder. So he does that by bringing these things subtly into our lives, into our homes. So the good news, John 1 verse 5, the light, so Jesus, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There is nothing, whatever has come to your mind, there is nothing so dark that Jesus cannot overcome it. Maybe it's darkness because of your own sins. I've had that. Or maybe it's darkness and consequences because of someone else's sins against you, wreaking destruction in your life. Psalm 9, verse 9. The Lord is a shelter for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Let's think back to that shameful card that I made you attach to your chest in your imagination. That thing that we'd be mortified for everyone to know about. That shame loses its power when we bring it into the light. Not only for us, but it has this beautiful ripple effect of freeing others too, who are privately walking through something similar. The ground at the cross is level for all of us. It's not this hierarchy where someone else is higher or closer to the cross. It is level ground. Each of our clients at the center, no matter what option they choose, they're on that same ground that we are, each of us in this room. We're on level ground at the cross of Jesus. Romans 3, verse 23 to 24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. I'm not better than anyone here, and I'm not worse than anyone here. We're actually all a hopeless case without Jesus. Because of Jesus, we are redeemed. Satan is defeated, and Jesus is Lord. As soon as we believe and confess that, redemption, new life, and all hope is ours in Christ Jesus. I'm honored to be with you here today. Each one of you has a powerful story and a message, and we're all works in progress. I just got to be the one that shared today. As I close, I'd like to spend a moment praying for you, with you, and asking God to give us new hearts in the areas that he's highlighted for us today. I want to encourage you, don't be discouraged by something that came to mind about your own life, your own heart. Be encouraged. Something that I'm learning. God is smart. He knows things that we don't know, a lot of things. And he loves to tell us, so he can minister to you and speak to you about that in your life. He is also so gracious that he doesn't show us all the dark corners of our soul at one time. Or I think we might die from how intense that is. So he mercifully shines his light into the parts of the suitcase that he calls to be lit up at that moment. The suitcase of our soul. And it's in his perfect timing. So let's just pray a minute together. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to gather together in your name. I pray for every person here, and especially those who really do have a picture of something that's in their life that they feel shame about, that hasn't yet been brought into the light. Father, thank you that you sent Jesus to set us free. I pray, Lord, thank you that you know things and you love to tell us things. I pray that you'll bring to mind someone that is a safe person that we can each share these things that keep us stuck in shame, that we can share that with, Lord, so that we can that it can come into the light and you totally dispel it and you set us free, Father. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.